Again, if I haven't introduced myself, I'm Pastor Rob, and man, what a week we have had in our nation, and I just want to address that out of the gates because I know in many ways it's the elephant in the room. It's what we've seen on news every day. It's what we've been thinking about, and I would say I find it no coincidence that quite a while back, just thinking through the sermon, and it just happened to fall on this day. Today, we're continuing through our sermon series, RSVP, God's Invitation and Our Response. And we hear about a God of the nation who loves his children, a God of the universe who loves his children and shows love to us, and how do we respond? And what falls this Sunday is loving your neighbor as yourself. And I feel like, what better message do we have as our country is so divided in this time? So whether we show up and walk through these doors, whether our party won or our party lost, there's a great division in our nation, and more so than our nation hasn't been divided this way for a long time, or at least it's coming to light right now. And so whether you're looking at the news and you're disagreeing with one side and you're finding yourself angry with the other side, why don't they see things this way? And so my hope is this morning, what would unite us is not first that we're Republican or Democrat, and not even Americans, but how we gather, we are first at the church. And what we are united as followers of Jesus, and that's what brings us together, and that's what's going to unite us, and that's what's going to unite this nation. It's not figuring out politics completely. Yes, we want to do that and fight for that, but what will unite this nation is the love of Jesus Christ. And that's why we gather here, because we want others to know about this love. We want our lives to be transformed by this love, that we can't help but see marriages. We can't help but see racial and social reconciliation in our nation. And so that's what we're going to look at. Let's, before we get into this, let's read in the last 3 weeks. We've been reading this text together. So if we could, we're in Mark 12, 28 through 31. And if you could, we're going to read this together, united as one church. Wherever we stand politically, we come before one God, our maker. And so let's read this. Let's start with, let's go to the next verse, beginning in 29. We'll start as a congregation at Hear, O Israel. Read with me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you are a God that did not leave us. Father, the truth is that we are on the other side. Sometimes in the news, we might look at, we might hear a group or become angry with someone else on the other side, a position different than us. But the reality of the gospel is that we are on the other side of you. But you sent your son Jesus to come to rescue us, to reconcile us to you. We thank you for that. And that is what brings us here today, that we have fallen astray. We have gone astray. And you have reconciled us to you. And so we thank you for that. We thank you that you are the rock that we stand on this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So loving your neighbor as yourself. How do we enter in? How do we love others? And sometimes it's such a difficult thing. But what we're going to explore this morning, how do we love God? Essentially, how... So we're talking about loving God, and then last week we talked about how do we love ourselves, which is really giving ourselves the greatest gift, which is God. And then this week, how do we love others just as we love ourselves with God? You know, it's so interesting. This last week, I was preaching the sermon to myself. I woke up one night, and sometimes as preachers we do this. We care so much about what we have to say on Sunday, and so it's like all these thoughts, and sometimes I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, I could have brought in this passage or this, or, you know, just another thought comes to me. And last week we showed a picture of my daughter singing a song that I always sung to her. Daddy loves me. Yes, he does. Daddy loves me all the time. La, 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 la. And so when I woke up, I sang that song to myself. Not my earthly father, whom I love, but my heavenly father. Even in my mistakes, Daddy loves me. Yes, he does, all the time. And man, I fell asleep like a baby. Reminding myself that all the striving in my heart trying to do, but reminding myself of God's love. And we talked about last week, we can't love others if we don't truly know the Father's love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. That is how we love. So before we talk about loving others, we must be grounded in the fact of the Father's love for each one of us. Daddy loves you. It's not performance, it's not what you've done, but your Father loves you despite all of that. And he loves you too much to stay the same. He loves you too much to stay in your own circle, your own political party, if you will. And he calls you to go to the other side. He calls you to go where people are different. He calls you to love your neighbor just as you love yourself. So how do we do that this morning? And before doing that, I love this quote by Brendan Manning, if we can pull it up. If we want to truly love, we must return again and again to the great love of the great lover. The great lover of our souls. If we want to love others, we have to return to the great lover of our souls. And so that's what I'm hoping you hear preached this morning, is Jesus is front and center. Jesus' love for you, God's love for you. Because if you try and go off and run and love your neighbor, you're going to fall short. Because if you're not filled up with God's love, you're going to run dry and you're going to eventually pass out. And you're not going to be able to love others. So that, we can't just simply move on, but that must be the point of it all. So let's break this down, this text. How do we love, if we're called to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, let's talk about how we love others with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so if you're taking notes, the first note, breaking down heart. Heart for people, not projects. We want to have a heart for people and not projects. I've heard a story sometimes in the church, coming out of our stage, and maybe in the 70s or 80s, and even in the 90s, we had a movement, and we often passed out tracts, and we wanted, as a church, we wanted people to become Christian, and we wanted people to hear about God's love, and so we'd pass out these tracts, and so there were stories like this that would come out. This was a true story I heard of. This man was going door to door and, you know, had a good heart, good intention, and he wanted to share God's love. And so he said, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. And the lady at the door said, no thanks. And so he said, okay, we'll flip this over and just read this prayer. So she reads this prayer and she says, I accept you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. And then he goes, boom, welcome to the heaven. You know, welcome to heaven. Glad you're a Christian. And she's like, what? And so there's this reaction we have towards that in our society of that's not right. And we might even use the words that's evil, because we don't want to give people false assurance of a hope that doesn't really exist. And so there's this, we've gone away from that a little bit, but sometimes in our society we've lost that idea of really sharing the good news with people. And so as a theme as a whole, I want us to look at today is that we would show. Do you remember back in elementary school when a young child would come and he'd bring in something and it was what? Show and tell. Show and tell. So we've been talking about how do we take the complex and make it simple? How do we make the gospel simple? It's simple. Ooh, this one sounds like a good one. I want this one. We show and tell. We show and tell. We show God's love, but we also tell about God's love. And so we're going to kind of weave that in today. So if you forget anything, if you check out from here on in the sermon, remember, show and tell. How do I show and tell God's love? And so with the heart, we want to look at people as people and not just a project, not a to-do list, not just something that we check off the box. Because if we really have a heart for people, then we will notice that we will be able to love them and care for them well. So often when we think about heart, there's a compassion that comes with that. Because sometimes you can have the right show, you can or tell people the right thing, but not show them. You know, you hear sometimes people, I've heard coaches in football often say, don't listen to the tone of voice, just listen to what I'm telling you. But the tone of voice preaches so loud. Think about it, for example. If I just say, oh, no, you can't do that, or no, you can't do that. Those are two different things, right? How we show somebody's God's love. You can say the right thing and be so wrong. You can have the right biblical truth, but not show it in love and be so wrong. I'm working with my little daughter right now. She's just kind of learning logic. My oldest one, she's 4 and a half, so she's learning what's right and wrong, and she's smart, and she's knowing certain things. But then my younger one's just kind of happy and joyful, and it's like, she'll say like characters' names, and she'll get people wrong in stories. And then my other one just comes in like, no, you're wrong, you know, and she just starts laying into her. And I'm like, sweetie, you're right. I don't, I'm gently teaching her, but in a way to approach it, it's so wrong. You have to love your sister. Yeah, she doesn't get it the way you get it. And so it really, what our goal is in society and in the Christian faith is not to convert people to view things the way we view politics or the way we view life and to act it out, but that we might listen and truly listen, because if we have a heart for somebody, we'll want to hear why they're hurting. There's a group in our nation that is crying out and feels discriminated against. So maybe we would hear them and actually understand where they're coming from. I have a good friend who I grew up with here in California, because sometimes we can say, well, the Midwest is different than California, but native California, grew up here, and he walked out of the elevator. He's a Latino man, and he's never had this happen, and somebody says, get out of the way, and throws a racial slur at him this week. And he was heartbroken, and I was heartbroken, because there's something coming out in our nation right now, and it's not good. And so we need to hear it. If you haven't had that happen to you, maybe you would sit with somebody this week and say, what's going on? And just hear their hurts and have a heart for them and see them as somebody, as a human being. Because we've talked about this church over and over again. You will never lock eyes with somebody that there's not an all-out search for in the kingdom of heaven. That God is longing and just desires to bring his children close to him. And so that's what he's longing for. And so he desires to love them and show them their love. And our job as Christ followers is to hear them and to show them the Father in heaven loves them too. And so we need to mourn with people who are mourning, even if we don't agree with them. So that's how we really bring our heart to the table. How do we bring our soul? Pray. One thought is to pray. Pray for people by name. If you're praying for a person by name, especially somebody that you don't agree with. And so as we're talking about who are we loving and what, trying to figure out who is, you know, to love your neighbor, who is your neighbor? Sometimes it's your physical neighbor. Sometimes with social media, there's ways you can love people that are far from you. And so if you're kind of stuck in this, I feel like there's so many ways that you can just love people. And the way to love people is to pray for them. When you're praying for somebody by name, and I encourage you on the back of your notes, that we'll look at, there's a way for you to engage in that and to make a plan. And we'll get to that a little bit more in the sermon later. I already, just by mentioning, everyone's like, whoop, look in there. We'll get there. We'll get there. I made the preaching mistake right there by mentioning that beforehand. It's human nature, right? What? What's on the back? Let me read it. But so, soul. How do you love somebody with your soul? You pray for them. When you pray for them by name, you will see change happen. You will see your heart changed, and you will begin to see their lives changed. Because we're not going to be able to love anybody by our own power. We have to pray that God would love them and God would work in their hearts and that God's love would stir in their hearts so much that they would know they're loved by him and they would be searching for something, and then you come alongside them and point them to what they're searching to. And so if you're like me, though, let me insert a little aside, if you will. When I first moved here to Fullerton, I had this ideal of how things were going to go. I had this idea I was going to move into the neighborhood, and families were going to come, they were going to bring me cookies, and, you know, it's just, we were going to connect and hit it off, and, you know, I like people, and so I'm like, this is going to be great. I move in first week, and I'm like, okay, no cookies. All right, so week two, no cookies. Week three, hi, no, not even a hello, you know. So I found myself, I didn't get cookies, and, you know, I would kind of be like, hi, and they would, like, you know, eyes down, looking, and I was like, ah. Oh. So what I found myself, I was like, well, I'm not going to love them. I'm not going to go, if they're not going to bring me cookies, then fine. And I found this in my own heart, right? It's easy to love people when they love you. Isn't it? And sometimes we create lists. Well, I will love somebody when they do this. And so I had that in my own mind. So I had to get up the courage. I had to say, well, wait a second. That's not the way Jesus did it. I have to go out and love them. And it's so interesting because I started to write this narrative in my mind. Well, they don't like me. I must not be this or that. And I go through all of this list of why I'm not going to connect with that person. I go out and meet some of these neighbors. I come to find they've been there for years and they don't know other people around them. So it's the world we live in, because if we're going to love others, we're fighting against a lot. In this age of social media, we're friends with thousands. We have 1,000 relationships, but we only go an inch deep. And so we're lacking that depth. And I think now more than ever, because we can say, well, that's what's just wrong with America these days. Or we can say, then this nation's hungry for true love. This nation is hungry for a depth of love that it doesn't get to experience. And so this is our opportunity as a church to love a nation, to say, you know what? Life is more than just an inch deep. Do you know one of... 30, 40 years ago, the greatest thing that we desired as people in our nation, it was first like finances, career, this and that, and what we desired was fifth on the list was love. As culture has shifted, and who knows why, I'm not trying to proclaim why, but right now if you ask the number one in America, the number one goal for people is love. The thing they desire most in their life is love. And you have an opportunity to show somebody love, and it begins by praying for them. They're not a project, they're a person, and you can pray for their soul and pray that they would have a deep love that only God can give them, and he can give it to them through you. But let's look at how do we love people with our mind? And we have to make plans to love others. It doesn't just happen by accident. If you're using your mind, because if you just say, well, so for example, with my neighbors, it could just go on. Weeks and months can go on. And maybe you find yourself, hey, I haven't connected with my neighbors. If you've been there for years, it's never too late. And maybe it's not just, I want to remove us just from our physical neighbors. It's your coworkers. It's people maybe you run into on your sports team, at school, different, wherever God has placed you. Those are your neighbors, people you come into contact with. Maybe it's the barista that you always see, or a waitress that you always come into contact with. Who is that person that you can show love? And that really happens when we make a plan. So sometimes we can say, well, I don't want to make a plan that seems fake. It seems, you know, it's not organic. It's not natural. It seems forced. But really, loving somebody takes time. It takes practice. So, for example, I've got a good friend, and it was his girlfriend at the time, and he loved her, and he was just, I mean, this guy killed it. If you're younger, or if you're grandparents, you want to teach your children, when you're out there, when you're getting engaged, one of the things somebody always asks the fiance, how did he propose? So this is a good time. If you're not creative, Google it, figure it out. This is your one time to shine. And so this, my buddy got it. And so what he did, he went to great lengths and he had this elaborate plan how he was going to propose. So one of our friends was a professional photographer and she's just a phenomenal photographer. And so he decides he was going to take her up to the cliff down in San Diego and over the ocean. And so he got this last second call from our friend, the photographer, and said, hey, I'm doing a photo shoot for a magazine, and they want kind of this bridal-looking couple. And so this guy had set this up, where he had planned this, where the photographer and him were in this together, and so they staged this fake photo shoot. And so they go through all of this work, and they're up there on the cliff, and if we could show this picture. And he gets down on one knee, and he actually proposes to her. It was awesome. I mean, look at that shot, just how beautiful. But that didn't happen just by a whim. When you show somebody you love them, you go to great length. And he knew that she loved family, and so after this, she had all of her closest friends and family, and they all came back to the house, and we just got to celebrate it. And he went to great lengths to show her how much he loved her. And it took a plan. He used his mind, his brilliant, you have a brilliant and wonderful mind that you can use to love others. Don't expect it just to randomly happen. Sure, sometimes it's romantic, just a whimsical proposal. But man, think of the love that was proclaimed here in the cliffs of San Diego. And so my encouragement is that now you can go to the back of those notes, that you would make an action plan, that you would think out, okay, who is the list of people that I need to love? Who are the ones that think differently than me? Who are the ones that act differently, but I need to show them God's love? And so make a plan, and make a plan to do that. Lastly, strength. And that is right there. Make a plan. Strength. Use your resources to love, if you're taking notes. How do you, with your strength, with your might, your ability that you have. I love one of John Wesley's quotes. He says, make all you can so you can save all you can so you can give all you can. I love that. Work hard. Use your strength to be smart, to be wise, to make money, to save money, and to be able to give money. Do you know Jesus in Luke 16:9, he says this, if we can pull it up on the screen, that he says that we're called to use our wealth. He says this, 16:9, if we can, we'll go there. So it's not that one on the screen. If you have your Bibles, go there with me. I love this, what Jesus says. He gives this parable, man, we'll teach this parable one day, but he says this in verse 9. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. that we have these abilities, we have these resources to love other people. And so what strength does, physicalness, the show, the tell, the showing part, actually gets us to kind of put our money where our mouth is. We say God loves you, but how do we really show them? You know, there was this interesting study, kind of a sick study, but it's weird. So they would do MRI scans on patients. And so they would be in there and, you know, they're having their brains analyzed and they're looking at things. And I believe it was an MRI. And so they're lying down and the doctor says, you're going to hear an alarm, a buzz, and then you're going to get an electric shock. And so sometimes you're going to hear the alarm, sometimes you will get an electric shock, and sometimes you won't. And so you kind of find people anxious. The buzz goes off, and it's like, am I going to get one? Am I not? And so, and then you see in their brain, their neurons firing, everything firing, and how they experience pain and what they're going through. But they found when that person's spouse or loved one, somebody that they really care, was just holding their hand, physical touch, that they not only experience less pain, but they were less anxious, and they were worried less. So, I mean, think about that. They experienced less physical pain in their mind. It didn't trigger as high as it was without it. Just that physical touch, that person being by their side. So when our nation is going through so much and there's so much worry, and you can just walk alongside somebody and show them God's love in a tangible way, it's a way that we get to speak God's love and speak it in such a clear way. I want to end with this last story, because what we can often do is quickly write off. Have you ever been there and just said, well, that person doesn't really... We start to write a story of why they don't need my love. One of my former students who came to faith and never really grew up in a relationship with God, that he just, church was religion for him. And so he would go, and it was a set of rules and things that he got to do. But then in the group, he got to hear about God's love for him. And so his life got changed. And his life, I mean, he would share Jesus with others. And he goes off to a Christian college. And he's there. He's in chapel one day after chapel's cleared. And he's praying. And he's on one side. And he's sitting there praying. And he notices there's one other person in the room. And he hears God clearly tell him, I want you to go pray for that person. Let me pause in this story. This is my hope and prayer, because often we know already who we need to love. We know how we can love them. We know how we can show them God's love. But my prayer is that we'd have eyes wide open, and then that God would give us a passion, a heart, strength to actually do what he says to do. So let me pick back up in the story. That's my prayer for the church. He's sitting here, and he's wrestling with God. He's saying, I don't need to pray for him. And he hears God say, I want you to go pray for this person. And so in his mind, why do I need to pray? He's Christian. He's at a Christian school. And so he just walks over to this man, this guy that's sitting there, and he just puts his hand on his shoulder and says, hey, I feel like God wants me to pray for you. And so he prays for him, and he describes it. He said, it felt a little awkward, but I prayed for him, and then I walked away. And so we left at that. About a month later, my friend who's there, who went off to this college, he goes off to a missionary meeting. He was going to go away and be a missionary for a time. And so he's there, and he sees this same guy there. And the same guy has a story to tell. He says, you know what? About a month ago, I was sitting here, and I was considering, and I had suicidal thoughts. I'm at a Christian university, but I'm up before this point, I wouldn't consider myself Christian. I question God's love for me. I didn't know if God loved me. But I was sitting in chapel one day, and I felt God's love come to me through a person who came up and laid his hand on me and just said, I feel like God's telling me I want to pray for you. And so he got to know God's love from there. And this man, this guy said, he explained that his life was turned around by that point. Think of the argument in my friend's mind. Well, he's here, he's already Christian, he knows God loves him. He's fine, he doesn't need prayer, God. And God says, no, this child of mine is hurting, he's in pain, and he's suffering, and I need you to go tell him I love him. Church, will we respond? That there's people out here that in our nation that are suffering, they're hurting, and are only an inch deep in relationships. Will you go and be God's hands and feet? Will you show them God's love? Will you make a plan to love them? Will you do it with all of your heart? Will you do it with your soul? Will you pray for them? And will you just be willing to open up, to use your resources, to hear how maybe that you can join the church and do that? Do it in your own neighborhood, in your workplace. God is calling us to share his love. This love is too good to keep to ourselves. Would you join us together as a church to be united in one thing alone, and that's by the blood of Jesus. That's how we're united. Will you share that love with others? May it be so deep in your bones that you can't contain it, and you have to show it, and you have to use your resources, and you just can't help but give it all away. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your love. Lord, help us not to get distracted with what's going on. Lord, help us to enter into people's pain and suffering this week. Help us not to minimize it, but at the same time, help us not to get distracted from the true lover of our souls. Lord, you have called us to share this great love with others. Lord, the enemy wants us to bicker and argue as a nation, but Lord, help us as a church, help us continue to love our neighbors, to love those who think differently than us, to love those that don't act like us. Lord, may we go at great lengths to show your love. Father, we thank you for your love this morning. You are the lover of our souls and the lover of our neighbors and our friends and our family. May we share that love and not keep it to ourselves. Jesus, it's in your holy name we pray. Amen.